to look for to human beings for help, to listen to their opinions, to rely upon them for sympathy, succor, and counsel. When in trouble, we should shut ourselves up with God. Amen. When you have trouble, what should you do? Shut yourself up with God. Shut yourselves in with God. How many there are who realize no refreshing because they have forsaken the living waters and have hewn out for themselves broken cisterns which can hold no water? When men do this, what can they expect but barrenness of soul? What can we expect but barrenness of soul when we go on in our own strength, when we go on doing what we can do, trying to accomplish the mission in our own strength? But the verse goes on. Verse 7, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord, for he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by the stream and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green and it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield its fruit. Do you notice something here? This plant, this tree, experiences the exact same conditions. It will not be anxious in a year of doubt, in a year of drought, nor it will experience no fear when the heat comes. They experience the same conditions. The same things come to these two different plants, but one becomes a dry tumbleweed in a desert, while the other one becomes a luxurious oasis on Oahu. Right? The one is digging deep with its roots. The one is shutting itself in with God, submersing itself in God so that it could come to life. Do you want to come to life? Do you want to experience revival? Do you want to know your Jesus more? Listen to the experience of Moses. In Fundamentals of Education, page 343, Ellen White says this: he became united to, submerged in the Holy One of Israel. Does that sound at all like he's extending his roots by a river? He became united to, submerged in the Holy One of Israel. He believed in the great God. He held communion with the Father through humble prayer. He looked to the highest for an education in spiritual things and for a knowledge of his duty as a shepherd. His life became so closely linked with heaven that God talked with him face to face. But that would have never happened if Moses hadn't have been tossed out into the wilderness. If Moses hadn't have had to go through that experience where he had nothing left. He had nothing to offer anymore of himself. He couldn't trust in his own strength anymore. He only had God left to rely on. And so it was there in the desert where he finally became submerged in God, where he finally took the time to drink deeply from the fountains of living water, which verse 13 of chapter 17 says that is the Lord. You see, Moses became submerged himself in God until that old dry bush in the desert burst into flames. See, Moses was set on fire by God. As he submersed himself in God, God ignited a fire in his heart. God ignited trust in his heart. God ignited him for a divine mission. If we submerse ourselves in God, we will come to life. And it was incredible, the life that Moses came to. You just think about the difference between Moses before and after the wilderness experience, where he was there for 40 years. Beforehand, he was trusting in his own strength. He was willing to kill in order to accomplish this mission. Afterwards, he simply relied on God. After they go through the Red Sea, you just see again and again that he's relying upon God. How does he feed them when they're in the wilderness? He has 2 million people at least to worry about, right? They're in the wilderness. Imagine that you have this gigantic city that you are in charge of. How are you going to provide for them? What are you going to do for them? Well, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask God to take care of this. And God rains down bread from heaven. God brings water from the rock. Submerge yourself in God. Trust in him, and he will make you come to life. I just want to look at two examples in Moses' life of the way that he trusted in God. I don't know if you've ever had a lot of responsibility. Look with me in Deuteronomy chapter 9. Maybe you've had a lot of people depending upon you. How do you respond when the pressure hits, when that moment that you can't handle comes? Deuteronomy chapter 9 tells how Moses had learned to deal with situations which came. Deuteronomy chapter 9. Verse 18. This is immediately after he's coming down from the mountain. He sees the two golden calves. He takes the tablets in verse 17 and he smashes them down to the ground. And then in verse 18, he says what he did. And he said, "And I fell down before the Lord as at the first for 40 days and nights. And I neither ate nor drank water because of all your sin, which you had committed in doing what was evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger." When something goes wrong, how do we respond? Do we shut ourselves in with God? Do we fall on our face for 40 days and 40 nights? Are we even that available to God? When I think about it, I think about the apostles praying for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And one of my friends once said to me, he said, "You know, they set out to pray until something happened. They were willing to pray as long as it took." He said, "I don't know if I'm that available to God." He said, "I don't know if my schedule would allow for that. I don't know if my schedule would allow to fall on my face for 40 days because I see that my church needs revival." But Moses, he had 2 million people depending upon him in the wilderness. They were looking to him for guidance. They were looking to him to be their leader. And when push came to shove, he fell on his face before God. He shut himself in with God because he had learned that that's the only way that we could ever accomplish a supernatural mission. And then he did this many times. In verse 25, again, it says, "So I fell down before the Lord the 40 days and nights, which I did because the Lord had said he would destroy you." And you find again that on Mount Sinai, he had been there for 40 days and 40 nights. You find that when there was rebellion, he and Aaron would fall on their faces before God again and again. You find that Moses was in prayer, and that was the only way that he saw that God would accomplish his mission. So immerse yourself in God, and you will come to life. A final quote I want to share with you, and then Leah is going to come up and share it. Education, page 260, says, "An intensity such as never before was seen is taking possession of the world. In amusement, in money-making, in the contest for power, in every struggle for existence, there is a terrible force that engrosses body and mind, in soul. In the midst of the maddening rush, God is speaking. He bids us come apart and commune with him. Be still and know that I am God." Psalm 46:10. "Many, even in their seasons of devotions, fail of receiving the blessing of real communion with God. They are in too great haste. With hurried steps, they press through the circle of Christ's loving presence, pausing perhaps a moment within the sacred precincts, but not waiting for counsel." Have you ever had that experience? You go there in the morning, the early morning, you bow down before God, you're reading your Bible, but then the stuff of the day just begins to come into your mind, and you say, "No, I just got to get this day started. I got to get on with it." With hurried steps, they press through the circle of Christ's presence, pausing perhaps a moment within the sacred precincts, but not waiting for counsel. They have no time to remain with a divine teacher. With their burdens, they return to their work. These workers can never attain the highest success until they learn the secret of strength. They must give themselves time to think, to pray, to wait upon God for a renewal of physical, mental, and spiritual power. They need the uplifting influence of his Spirit. Receiving this, they will be quickened to fresh life. If you submerge yourself in God, if you shut yourself in with God, you will come to life. You will be revived. We will be an army that is brought to life. The wearied frame and tired brain will be refreshed. The burdened heart will be lightened. Not a pause for a moment in his presence, but personal contact with Christ. To sit down in companionship with him, this is our need. Submerge yourself in God and you will come to life. I know this is the truth because I've seen it in my own life. I want to see it a lot more, but I've also seen it in Leah's life.
As I shared a little bit yesterday, I was blessed to grow up in a good Christian home. I was blessed with parents who prided themselves in taking me to church from when I was 1 week old, was born on a Sabbath, and I heard my mom many times over say she was so proud of herself for taking me to church at, 1 week old. And my mom was a Sabbath school teacher, and so every week we, went over our lesson and learned our memory verse, and on the 13th Sabbath at the end of the quarter, we'd stand up in front and repeat all of the verses. And in sixth grade, I had the privilege of going to an Adventist school for the first time, and it was such a blessing. I remember my sister and I, we cried when my parents told us that, we were going to have to go to this new school. We only knew one kid that went there, and we thought he was so weird, and so we thought, if we go to that kind of school, we'll be so weird too. And I remember we were crying, and we were there one day. And after one day, we said, we wish we had been here since kindergarten. We just loved it. It was a great experience. And as I got into high school, I was the busy kid. I was involved in everything. I was a part of the student leadership at school, and I was in yearbook, and I was in wilderness survival, and I played volleyball, and I was in band and choir. And I was the kid that went to school early in the morning and didn't leave until late at night. And as I look back over my spiritual experience, though, I loved God, and, I let out, if someone would ask for someone to pray or someone would ask someone to say something in chapel, I would. But as I look back now over my spiritual experience then, I was kind of like a spiritual sleepwalker. If any of you ever sleepwalker, you know someone who does. You go through all the motions of being awake, but you're really asleep, right? My sister had a roommate in college who had, I think, an extreme version of sleepwalking. They would find her in the middle of the night in the cafeteria in the dorm, cooking up top ramen. One night she went out for a walk in the middle of the woods, fully asleep, right? And as I look back about on my spiritual experience, I was going through all the motions, but I had no real personal experience for myself. I was going through all the motions, going to church and, knowing some Bible verses and all this kind of stuff, but my own experience with God, I was fully asleep. And honestly, I didn't even know that there was something more. I didn't have an alive, real experience with God, and honestly, I didn't even know that you could. To me, all I knew, you just grabbed your Bible, you went to church, you learned more things about God, and, it was kind of like school. You just kept learning a little more, a little more, a little more. I had no idea that there was more out there. However, when I was a junior in high school, God started bringing people into my life. And, sometimes you don't realize that when God brings people into your life, what's going to happen. But God started bringing people into my life. One of them was my Bible teacher at school, and little by little, the things he shared, it just kind of started to open up my perspective, I guess. It started to say, man, maybe there is something more. He seemed very genuine. And then as I shared yesterday, I started praying every day for the Holy Spirit in my life. Not because I expected great things even, but I was just encouraged to do so. I'd gone to a meeting where they started encouraging us, pray for the Holy Spirit in your life, and I did. And nothing happened in an instant. It wasn't like I went somewhere one day or one weekend and my whole life changed. But little by little, as I kept praying that prayer, kept praying for the Holy Spirit, God started working in my life. So when I was a junior, the youth pastor had also, been reaching out to me. And because I was a kid that was involved in a lot of stuff, he would, give me jobs to do and whatever. He was part of a planning team that was planning a youth prayer conference. And I was a junior in high school, and he had asked me if I would come along and if I would be one of the student leaders. And so I said I was willing, and I went just to one meeting with them, and I didn't really have much input. It was more like, do you think kids your age would like this, or what do you think about this idea? And I would put in my 2 cents, So I was planning to go and to lead out. And in the meantime, because I'd been praying for the Holy Spirit in my life and I'd been attending these meetings at our church for 40 days, they were encouraging people to start a small group. And so I had started a small group with my friends at school, and, we kind of studied the Bible. And looking back on it now, I was studying the Bible with them, but still had no real experience for myself with God. And but God grows us. God brings us step by step. And so we were getting ready for this prayer conference, and all of a sudden, one Sunday afternoon, you know, we were just hanging out at home and getting ready for school the next day, I guess, and we got a phone call that our youth pastor had got in a bad accident. He'd been dirt biking with some friends and got in a really bad accident, broke his back, and was probably going to be in one of those turtle shell casts for several months. And so it was kind of shocking, like, well, at least he's okay, but, you know, everyone was kind of worried, and it was one of those just kind of shaking experiences. And I remember going to visit him, I think it was later that week at his house there, as he was, you know, just kind of laying in bed in this cast. And I remember thinking to myself, well, you know, it's too bad the prayer conference won't happen. But instead of it not happening, he takes the papers that were the detailed program, because he was supposed to be leading out in the programming of this prayer conference. Other people were doing different stuff, but he was in charge of programming. And instead of him just saying, you know, well, obviously I can't go, so we're not going to do this, he hands me the stack of papers and says, I want you to go and lead out. And I was like, what are you talking about? You know, I was involved in a lot of stuff, but this was a big event. This was a prayer conference for our whole conference. There was going to be like 200 young people there. And here he was giving me the papers to go and do it, to go lead out. And that was one of the first times I felt like, what am I getting myself into? What am I committing? You know, and I said I was willing to go, but I don't know, at that point in my life, I didn't expect necessarily that God would use that to make a big impact on me, but looking back, God totally did, and this is why. When I got there, I met a lady who was leading out. She was working on kind of coordinating the prayer element of this prayer conference, and when I got there, here I was, you know, 16 years old, I'd brought my friends with me to, like, help make this thing happen, and right as we get there, we weren't, you know, five steps in the door, and she says, you know, I'm so glad you're here. Let's pray together. Okay, so we prayed together, and then I got my, you know, detailed schedule out, and I started looking at everything. Okay, how should we set up the chairs? Okay, you guys, come over here. Let's set up the chairs. Let's pray about how to set up the chairs. Okay, so we prayed about how to set up the chairs, and then 5 minutes later, it was something else. You know, where should we do this, or how should we organize this? Here, let's pull together, and let's pray about what God would want us to do. Okay, so we prayed about how God would want us to do this, and over the course of the weekend, it was so busy, and I felt like I was running all over the place, but this lady had brought in some prayer partners to pray for the weekend, and it was so amazing, because here was 200 young people, and they were hearing powerful sermons, and meeting in small groups, and having these cool prayer experiences, but here were these four older ladies sitting in the back, praying for these kids. Here are high school kids, some of them totally not interested in God, but just came because their other friends are here. But these ladies were in the back praying. And I think they took me under their wing a little bit, because here I was, this crazy high school kid, just trying to make everything happen and running back and forth. But they would constantly pull me into the back room, Leah, we just want to pray for you. And they would just pray for me and pray for me. And that was the first time in my life that I ever experienced something like that. You know, my prayer life up to this point consisted of, you know, praying quickly before I went to bed for my meals, and that was about it, you know, maybe quickly before I would study the Bible with my friends or something, but this weekend, I mean, I was so blown away. I remember Sabbath afternoon, this started on Thursday night, so it was, you know, Thursday and all day Friday and Sabbath. And I was so tired, I was so exhausted, and they're like, Leah, come back here, let's pray. And they put me in the middle, and I remember they put their hand there, and they just started praying for me. And as they were praying for me, there was just something different, you know? Like, their prayers were so much deeper than mine. Their prayers were so much more meaningful. Their prayers were so much more personal. And I remember being so exhausted and so tired, and I had to go. Before I had committed to go and, you know, help with the programming, I'd committed to do a little seminar on how to teach high school kids like me how to do a small group with their friends, because I'd been doing one. And I was supposed to present for 20 minutes, six times in a row, right? Kids were on a rotation. They were going to come through our seminar. And by the time Sabbath afternoon came and I was supposed to do that, I was just so exhausted. And so those prayer partners, they got me back there. They put their hand on me. They started praying for me. And I remember one of them opened up to Isaiah chapter 40. And here I was feeling tired and exhausted and worn out. And one of these ladies starts claiming the promise in chapter 40, verse 29, that God would give strength to the weary, that God would increase the power of the weak. And I had no idea that promise was even in the Bible. I remember like, wow, that's exactly what I'm going through. And I could tell you story after story that weekend, but every time I needed it, it seemed like these ladies were pulling together and praying for me. And after the weekend was over, one in particular I stayed in contact with, and it was so amazing because here I was 16, and, you know, she was, like, older than my mom, but she cared about me so much. I mean, after I left the prayer conference, you know, I'd have a test at school, and here she was texting me or calling me that she was praying for my test. And she was praying for me, you know, with the way I was leading out in school, and she was praying for my family, and she was praying for my friends, and I had just never experienced something like that. And after, you know, the weekend was over and we continued to be prayer partners and continued, I guess, to be friends, I realized something about this lady, that she really knew God. She really knew God. And I began to realize that, you know, I knew a lot about God. I knew a lot of God, but I didn't really know God. Do you know? If you turn your Bibles to John chapter 17... John chapter 17, verse 3, became such a pivotal understanding for me. John chapter 17 and verse 3. It says, "This is eternal life." Jesus is telling the disciples something very profound here, something very powerful. He's saying, "This is eternal life," and then he's going to spell it out. And Jesus doesn't go on to say, "You must do this and this and this," or "You must not do this and this and this." But Jesus says, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Eternal life is all about knowing Jesus. I don't know how I went on for 16 years growing up in church and never understanding that before. And I remember as I realized this, eternal life is about a relationship with Jesus. I mean, this is exactly what this lady had. This is exactly what these prayer partners had had at this prayer conference, and that's what I needed in my life. And I remember being outside at my parents' house in their backyard. They have a, you know, big swimming pool, and I remember one day just taking my Bible and being out there by that pool and just crying out, saying, "God, I really need this. I want to know you. I want to love you. I want to spend time with you. God, help me. If eternal life is about knowing you, then I've totally missed it. Help me, God, to know you. Help me to love you. Help me to read my Bible and it actually makes sense. Help me to read my Bible and actually make it meaningful. God, help me to pray and help it," you know, I had always heard that, you know, prayer was like talking to a friend. God, help it to be like that. And ever since that time, I went on a quest to know God. I realized that if eternal life was all about knowing him, then I gotta know him. And the same lady who, you know, had been praying for me and become my prayer partner and really good friend by this time showed me the verse in Isaiah chapter 50. And she was talking to me about, you know, the importance of spending time with God. And if you want to know God, you have to spend time with him. And that totally made sense to me, you know, because I was all about school and I was all about getting good grades and studying hard. And for me, if I wanted to do well in my chemistry test, I knew it meant spending time studying, right? And if I wanted to do well in Spanish, it meant time studying. And so it made sense to me. If I want to know God, I had to spend time with him. But I was so busy. I was so busy. And maybe you find yourself in that same spot. You know, like I said earlier, I was going to school early in the morning, and I was involved in so many activities and so many things that I never came home until late. But Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4, she showed me this promise and said, "You may not think you have time for God, but claim this promise and God will start waking you up in the morning to spend time with him." In Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4, it's such a powerful promise. We're going to look at just the last part of it here. If you have your Bible, Isaiah chapter 50 in verse 4, it says, "He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple." I love how it's translated there in NASB. He awakens me morning by morning. He opens my ear to listen as a disciple. And isn't that the experience God wants with us? Just like Zach was sharing with Moses, God wants that experience with us, that he just wants to spend time with us, doesn't he? He wants to wake us up. He wants to have us there, spending time in his presence so he can speak to us, having our ear open like a disciple to learn. And so I began to claim this promise. And at this time in my life, you know, my parents, my sister, you know, we all went to church and we're Christian, but you know, I didn't know if they were necessarily spending time on their own with God, but I started claiming this promise, and in the morning, God would start to wake me up. And I hadn't been a morning person, you know. My mom used to come and be like, okay, time to get up. Then I would beg for 5 more minutes, and then she'd come again, and I would beg for 3 more minutes, and, you know, I just didn't want to get up in the morning. And little by little, though, God started to wake me up. And I would claim this promise before I went to bed. God, you promised to wake me up in the morning. Wake me up. And I began to have such an experience with God. How does Psalm 34 say it? Taste and see that the Lord is good. And I began to realize that. I began to realize God is so good. I started reading just in the Psalms, and every morning it seemed like, you know, I wasn't reading that long. I wasn't spending hours with God, maybe even just like 20 minutes or something. But I began to realize that there was so much in the Bible that was for me. It was so powerful. You know, I had my little highlighters there, and I was highlighting verses in the Bible, and they were exactly what I needed for that day. And it amazed me. You know, day after day, I would be feeling discouraged, and something I would read would totally encourage me. Or I'd be praying for wisdom about something, and as I would be reading that morning, it was just right there. And I was realizing that there were so many promises in the Bible that I'd been missing out on for so many years. God began to speak to me over and over and over, and I could tell you so many stories when God would correct me, when God would show me what to do. I remember one day in particular, and you know how it is, sometimes you feel really passionate about knowing God, and you're spending time with him, and then you kind of get busy, and things fall apart. And I remember I hadn't spent time with God for a couple of mornings, and I'd gotten to this argument with my sister, and by the time the night came, I just felt discouraged, you know, I just felt like, ugh, things are falling apart. And I remember before I went to bed that night, though, I claimed the promise that God would wake me up, because I knew I needed time with God. And he woke me up that next morning, and it was early, early in the morning. It was still dark outside, and no one was awake in our house. And so I grabbed my Bible, and I was going to leave my bedroom to go out to the living room to read. And I noticed that it was really dark outside. And as I started to walk out the door, I had this faint impression to go back to the window. The window was on the other side of my bedroom, and I started to walk that way, and I thought, that's kind of weird. Okay, I don't know why. It's dark out there. And I started to leave the bedroom again. But again, it was just this thought. And I had never, up until this point, felt like God has ever talked to me or God has spoken to me. I definitely never heard, like, Leah, do this, you know, in a loud voice. But just again, this thought to go to the window. And I did this back and forth a couple times. And finally, I was like, okay, fine. So I went and sat by the window and opened up the blind. Sure enough, it was dark outside. But interestingly enough, it was raining. And where I grew up in California, it's a pretty dry area. It doesn't rain a whole lot. So that was, you know, definitely interesting. I was sitting there watching the rain come down. And as I'd got out of bed that morning, a song had just kind of come to my mind. And I wasn't necessarily even singing, like, loudly. Or you know how sometimes you're even just humming, singing something, and you don't realize you're doing it? Someone will be like, oh, what's that song? That's, and you kind of click in, like, oh, I am kind of humming or singing. It was kind of like that. And I was singing the song, What Can Wash Away My Sin? Nothing But the Blood of Jesus. And I was just kind of humming along and sitting there by the window. And it was very interesting because as the rain was falling, it was washing all this stuff that had piled up in the gutter the day before. The wind had been blowing and, you know, all these leaves and junk were in the gutter now. But as it was raining and raining hard, this stuff was just washing down the gutter. And here I was sitting on the edge of my bed, just kind of singing along, what can wash away my sin? And then it clicked. Washing, washing. Here, I was so excited on the edge of my bed. The first time I felt like God had given me this little object lesson, you know. He brought me to the window this morning, you know, so I could see the rain washing this stuff down. And here I was singing, what can wash away my sin? And anyway, I had this nice little moment with God there on the edge of my bed. And then I thought, you know, it's almost time for me to get ready for school, whatever, I got to read my Bible. And so I grabbed the Bible, and at that time, I wasn't trying to read through anything particular. Sometimes I would just let it, like, fall open, and, you know, God is merciful. A lot of times he would speak to me right there. And this particular morning, I was, you know, just had my Bible there and let it kind of flop open, and it opened to Hebrews chapter 9. And it wasn't necessarily something I had read a lot before, But just the title, I don't know if in your Bible it does this, but it'll have like a bold title, you know, before a section of verses. And even just through the title of that chapter, God spoke to my heart, because I looked down and just kind of let it flop open to look down, and the title for that section was The Blood of Christ. And here I'd been singing, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And then there God speaks to me again. And that was one of the first experiences I had where God was just showing me, I love you. I want to spend time with you. I want to speak to you. There is so much that I would show you if you'd just give me time. And I wish for the last, you know, 7 years or whatever now, my experience would have been that solid. And I wish I could say that every morning I've, you know, kept my promise to God and tried to get up. But I struggle with it, you know. It's not always easy to wake up in the morning, but my testimony today is that God wants to spend time with you. And the more we will seek him and try to be in his presence. Recently, I was looking up all the different verses that talk about seeking God. And all throughout the Bible, there are these verses, and it doesn't just say to seek me, but the promises come with it. Seek and you will find me. Seek with all of your heart and you will find me. Promise after promise after promise. And God is saying, I want a relationship with you. I want to speak to you. I want you to know me. I want to know you. And if you're an older person out there today, I want to encourage you that there are young people who need you. God has used so many older people in my life to reach out to me, to teach me how to pray, to teach me how to know God, to inspire me to actually want to know him. And so maybe you already have a powerful experience with God. Maybe you're saying, yeah, that's nice that, you know, that just dawned on you, but I've been spending time with God for years. I want to encourage you that maybe there's someone in your family, maybe there's someone in your church who desperately needs you. Here I was a really good kid. I didn't do any bad stuff. I was, you know, going to church every week, but I didn't know God for myself. And maybe there's someone that God wants you to reach out to. Maybe there's someone that you need to share your experience with, that it will inspire you. I remember sometimes my prayer partner would call and she would just talk to me and she would tell me about the things that God had been showing her in her worship. And I was like, in your worship, what is that? I had no concept even of spending time with God personally. I thought worship was what you did at church, you know? But as she would share, and there was never time where like, Leah, you need to read your Bible. Go in and read your Bible for the next 30 minutes. But instead, her just sharing about her experience, I wanted it so much in my life. I wanted that experience. But maybe you're someone here today who you're saying, I need that experience with God. I want to challenge you. Claim the promise that God will wake you up. Spend time with him. And I'm calling out to myself, you know. I'm challenging myself again today. Spend time with God. You know it makes a difference. Don't let the junk get in the way. But spend time with him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, I want to thank you so much for the way you work in our life. Thank you for the people you bring into our life. And God, I pray that day by day you would give us a deep hunger and thirst for you, that you would show us that spending time with you is the most important thing we can do, that eternal life is all about knowing you. God, help our quest to know you. I pray that you would just teach us day by day. And Father, I pray that you would use us to be able to share with other people, that we might share what a beautiful experience with you can be like. So bless each one here in Jesus' name. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.